Hello, you are listening to the Modern Web Podcast, where we explore next generation frameworks, standards, and techniques. I'm Tracy Lee at Lady Lee on Twitter, and you can find us online at modern-web.org.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Modern Web Podcast. I'm going to be sitting in for Tracy today. My name is Taras, and I go by Ember Sherpa in the Ember community. Today our guest is Balint Erdi. Hi Balint.
Hey Taras.
Balint, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm Balint Erdi. I'm an Ember.js consultant and also the author of the Rock and Roll with Ember.js book.
That's great. Why did you write this book?
Well, so it started, I think it's more than 3 years ago when I first got in touch with Ember. And as I learned it, I realized that there are a few things that are, I think, hard to understand. But once you really grok those concepts, then it Ember kind of becomes a breeze in many ways. So, and I heard a lot that Ember is very hard to learn. And I thought that, well, it is hard to learn, but once you are helped by someone who teaches you these concepts and how to look at them, then it becomes a lot simpler.
Yeah, I remember when I started learning Ember, it was really difficult, and then I found a book. I think it was well before you wrote your book, but with the right information, learning something like Ember can go a long way, and I heard that your book has done that for a lot of people, and I recommended your book to a lot of people as well.
That's cool. So yeah, it was also a great deal of enthusiasm. So as I understood Ember more and more, I really liked it more and more. I think it's a great tool, it's a great framework, and I wanted to like spread this love.
That's awesome. What kind of things have you learned in the process of working with this book?
Well, one of the things is that it takes a lot of time to write and especially maintain and improve a book. So I guess you have to know that I'm constantly keeping the book up to date with the latest Ember version, latest stable Ember version. And it's been a lot of work. So I'm not complaining, especially in the 2.0 series. Now Ember has become more stable and it's not that much more work as it was before, but it still changes. I mean, we are still looking ahead of, for example, routable components or engines and other stuff that's going to like change the way we write Ember apps. And I really want the book to reflect that. So I don't want my book to get outdated.
Yeah, it's great that you're keeping it up to date, because that's one of the problems that a lot of books have, is that especially printed books in particular, right, where the book is written, it takes a lot of effort, but 2 months later it's out of date, and how do you deal with that, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that was kind of the technical part. The other thing I also learned like what trips up people or what challenges people face when they learn Ember, but I think I also learned a lot about the actual learning process, or I wouldn't call them tricks, but just the way that you teach stuff in general to people, like to go, just for example, to keep the amount of new information to a minimum, and just so not just throw them too much new information at the same time. So things like this, or how to use, I don't know, different techniques like graphs or code snippets, or so just, I guess, general teaching strategies or maybe even paradigms.
Yeah, like focusing on what it would take for people to actually learn the technology as opposed to just provide them with information.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
I know we're working on an authentication with Ember workshop. Why did you want to create this workshop?
Okay, so first of all, I think authentication and authorization are concepts that can be quite difficult and challenging. It's also an advanced concept, so I think it's it's kind of a natural supplement to either someone who read the book or just to someone who wants to dig deeper with Ember and want to build application, like real world applications, I would say. So I think that most of the real world applications out there make some kind of authentication necessary. And a lot of people are afraid of authentication, I think there is a good reason. So I kind of want to dispel that fear and show them how to do it with Ember.
I remember when I was learning Ember, I know there were two things that made me think that I'm either like a real Ember programmer or not, and it was authentication and testing.
Yes, exactly.
it seems that if you can overcome these two challenges, then you're pretty well on your path of getting up there to being the intermediate Ember developer.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about the format of this workshop that is coming up?
Sure. So 1 week before the actual webinar, we are going to send a series of videos to the attendees so that they can be prepared for the hands-on workshop part. So those episodes will talk about authentication in general, how it's an authorization, how they relate, how to accomplish it in Ember apps. And also there is going to be a video on Ember SimpleAuth and Tori, two of the most popular and widely used add-ons with Ember applications. So these videos prepare, give the grounding for building authentication in Ember, so for the actual hands-on thing. So then we are going to have the workshop, which is going to be about 4 hours long, and we will see one example to implement a classic email password or username password authentication in the Ember app. And then the second example is going to be an OAuth one, so using Google to sign in to an application. And then there is going to be a third week, so there's going to be a limited time when we give support and we encourage people to build their own apps, to integrate authentication into their own apps, and we respond to any questions that they might have, and we help them.
I'm a little bit biased in that I helped to design this program, but I think this really is a really amazing way to learn, because because it's not until you've actually built it and until you've gone through the actual process of building it, you don't really know, you don't really know that you've really got it. And I think being there from the beginning to the end of that learning process, I think is going to go a long way to really hammer home the ideas and give people the confidence necessary to know that they're doing authentication right.
Yes, it's absolutely. It's kind of a cliche, but you learn best by doing, by actually building stuff in our case. So, yeah, I think that's really an important part of the course.
So what are you hoping that people will take away from this workshop?
Well, yes, I hope that they will earn the confidence, they will gain the confidence necessary to just build authentication into all of their Ember apps. And on kind of the more theoretical side, I hope that they learn like important distinctions, for example, between authentication and authorization, what exactly OAuth 2.0 is. So a little bit on the technical side, but mostly that they really learn how to do authentication Ember. Yeah.
So can we talk a little bit about what authentication versus authorization is? Because I feel like a lot of people don't really know. These two words are kind of used interchangeably. You know, when we talk about the add-ons that are available in the Ember community, we often talk about authentication add-ons, but authentication and authorization, they go hand in hand, but they're different things. So can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So authentication is the act of confirming the truth of something. So most of the time that truth is the identity of someone. So in other words, it's I have to prove that I am who I claim to be. That's the authentication part. Authorization, on the other hand, is what permissions someone has to a specific set of resources. So one, or in very simple terms, what they can do and with what. So again, a classic example can be that if I log into a site and access my account, then I can do whatever I want with my own data. I mean, I can create new resources, I can fetch a list of the existing resources, I can modify them, I can even delete them. If I'm an administrator, then I could probably do that with all of the with all data, right? Like not just with my data, but I can delete the data of anyone. So that's the authorization part, like the like who can perform which actions on which resources.
It sounds like so authentication is verifying who the user is, and authorization is essentially the permissions that the user and the actions that the user can perform on your system.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
So can we talk a little bit about the pattern? I mean, there's general, I think it's helpful for people to know the when thinking about how authentication and authorization fits into the application. I think it's good to keep kind of a bird's eye view of what actually happens in regards to authentication in the Ember application. So can we talk about a little bit about the different patterns or the pattern of authentication and authorization that we have that happen in the Ember apps?
Yeah, so I think that will lead us towards OAuth 2 finally. But I think that's fine. So the classic email and password form is one that comes to mind first. OAuth 2.0 has, so I guess, or we might talk about it later in detail, but it has a so-called flow that is appropriate for this kind of login. So you just type in your username and password, and then they are sent to the server, and then they are exchanged for an access token, which is sent back to the client, and then your browser very probably stores that access token and uses it for in subsequent requests that go to the server. So that's one pattern. The other pattern that we see more and more of is authentication via third party. So that third party can be Google or Facebook or GitHub, Twitter. There are lots of them that can authenticate the user and then send an access token back to the client. And then the client application again stores it, and subsequently they can use it to fetch data on behalf of that user. So you can use that, for example, to identify the user if you have their email. That's enough to know who they are. So is that what you meant by patterns?
Yeah, I think that's so. There's like basically two common scenarios that people implement in their applications. So I think, like you said, the login form is the most common one, and then or a very very common one. Although third-party authentications like Google and Facebook and Twitter and GitHub, like these are becoming much more common and popular.
Yes.
So, do you have any thoughts about under what circumstances someone might choose to use one type of authentication pattern over another?
That's a good question. I guess that for certain applications, you might be fine with not providing your own email password kind of authentications. For example, if I was to build an application for developers, for web developers, let's say, then I think it's fine to just authenticate through GitHub and be done with it. Or if your application is very specific to Twitter, then that's also fine to just have Twitter authentication. So, and in some cases, I mean, if the application is small or does just one thing, like, I don't know, posting something to Twitter, or just, for example, analyzing your Twitter data in many ways, then it's also a natural fit to just use that. On the other hand, if your application in general, or is for example, if it's a B2B application, and we cannot assume that all of the businesses or the people working in those businesses use a specific third-party provider, then, of course, an email password login form is a much better choice.
Are there any considerations, like security considerations? Is one choice better than the other commonly? Like, do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, so between these two, I don't think there is any serious differences or difference. There is a third, actually there are four flows in the OAuth 2.0 protocol framework. There is one code authorization, code grant, which is a lot better security-wise because it involves your own server. So that that can be considered like a confidential client in OAuth 2 parlance, which means that you can have a secret that cannot easily be accessed or stolen because it's stored on the server. So that's definitely a better choice security-wise, but not between the two that we had mentioned. No, I don't think so.
So you mentioned there are, I think OAuth in general, I think that's one of the things that is really throws people off when they start thinking about authentication authorization, because it seems like a kind of a scarier term than it might necessarily need to be. So could you tell us a little bit about what OAuth is and what people kind of need to keep in mind about it?
Sure. Yeah. So OAuth was originally conceived, I think, about 10 years ago, the 1.0 version, and 2.0 came out, like the final draft, or the actual specification was published, I think, only like 2012, something like that. So it's really recent, and it's an authorization framework. So it describes four flows, four so-called protocol flows that client applications can use to gain authorization to some resource on an authorization server. Now, the authorization server is those providers that we have talked about, Google, Twitter, GitHub, and so on. And so these four flows, each of these flows is optimized for a specific scenario. So the implicit grant is optimized for rich browser applications, rich client applications. The resource owner password credentials is also optimized for them, but it's when you have a password and some kind of email or user name, so something that identifies the user, and you want to exchange it for a token. Authorization code grant is optimized for when you have a confidential client, so typically a server, like a classic web server somewhere. And client credentials is for desktop applications. It's not used very much, that last one.
Implicit grant is the third-party authentication, like what we have with Google and Twitter and Facebook and such.
Yes, it's for those, yes, for the third-party providers, yeah.
And the resource owner credentials grant, that's typically username, password.
Actually, authorization code grant is also for third-party providers. It just adds an extra. It's more complex, but it also adds an extra layer of security.
So, which of these are you going to be focusing on in the workshop?
So in the workshop, we are going to see the implicit grant and the resource owner password credentials grant.
Oh, okay, so these are the more commonly used scenarios, right? Because I think most of the applications that I've ever built with Ember, they use one of these two authentication mechanisms or flows.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
So I think that once people figure out, you know, what their application needs, and they've nailed down, you know, kind of which approach they're going to take to authentication, I think it's it may be helpful for people to get an idea of how one might actually go about implementing authentication in the Ember app. And I think it'll be difficult for us to get into the real details, but it'd be nice to at least give people an overview of what what that process looks like, and at least what pieces they need to be aware of in their Ember application. So can we talk a little bit about this, and like how the implementations in the actual Ember application would go?
Yeah, so first we are going to implement an email password login with Ember Simple Auth. So by that time you already have the technical grounding so that attendees know how Ember Simple Auth works, and they understand the resource owner password credentials flow. And so we will just piece by piece, we are going to implement it. But I mean, for example, there are certain routes need to be protected so that they can only be accessed by an authenticated user. That's one thing that we have to implement. And we are going to redirect them to a login form and so on. So we are going to build it little by little. So like stopping each time and explaining the concepts, maybe also like referring back to the theoretical parts that we had seen in the videos. So that's going to be the first exercise. And the second exercise, we'll use Tori, and we will implement login via Google.
So let's talk a little bit about what authentication and authorization actually looks like in Ember apps from code or like architecture perspective. So we know that when kind of the first step of authentication, the user lands on the page, and then we need to get them to verify their identity somehow, right? So then we would then give them an option. So if we're doing the resource owner password credentials grant, so if you're doing username and password, we're going to show them username and password form. And if we're going to be doing the implicit grant or Google and Facebook and Twitter and those third-party authentications, then we're going to give them links to, like, they basically have to click a button that is going to take them to a place where they can enter their credentials, then the user is going to be returned back to the same page that they started from, or another page where they'll have the information about they'll have verified information about themselves. Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly correct.
Right, and so I know that there are different ways. So there's this flow that we actually implement into the application. But there's a few different ways that we can do that, right? Because we have Tori, which is a library for doing authenticate to get these mixed up, right?
Yes,
Tori, which you could use for doing authentication and Ember Simple Auth. So what is it that Tori provides within the context of implementing authentication in the Ember app?
Yeah, so I think the main thing is that it has lots of providers, authorization providers built in. I think there is a good handful of them, like about 10. And those authorization flows could be quite complex. So you have to like send certain parameters to certain endpoints at, let's say, Google or Facebook. You have to also use a pop-up, or if you want, you can use an iframe. You have to cover all the scenarios. What if the user denies giving permissions to the app? What if any error comes up during the authentication process? So it's quite an involved process, and Tori removes the burden of doing that ourselves as application developers. It also has, it's not so much a feature, but I find that it has a fantastic architecture. So I think it's a bit like Ember in that once you understand how the pieces fit together, it becomes a joy to work with, because then you like know how to work with the add-on and not against it. But yeah, and what I mean listed, Tori provides them all. Like, it does the pop-up or the iframe, and as I said, it will handle all those scenarios, the authentication scenarios for you, like giving errors, handling errors, sorry, and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think when I first...
Yeah, I just wanted to add that you basically just have to write like the glue code, the integration code of like connecting GitHub to your application.
Yeah, because all the there's a lot of complexity in the actual handling of the pop-ups that you need to be able to get authentication from third-party providers, right? So that complexity is handled quite seamlessly by the library. I think that's one of the first features that this library provided. And I think it does that really well, yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's quite a recent addition, I think. Maybe a few months ago it came out.
I think one of the other features they added recently is being able to... So after they had the pop-up functionality, is being able to do the same thing, but instead of opening it up in a pop-up, it's actually opening it in an iframe. So you can have the user authenticate with a third party without creating a new tab or a new window and kind of jumping the user around. They can just stay within your application.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
I have my theme to claim with Tori is that I added the authenticated route DSL to Tori. I wonder if anybody uses it, because I added it and it's there, and it's like, I wonder if it's how widely used it is.
Well, I use it, so I already used it, so not sure about the others, but I do. Yeah,
that's good to know. Is it going to be in the workshop by any chance?
Yes, it is.
Because I think that's a different... The reason why I added that is because with SimpleAuth, the way you indicate... So the second part of authentication is actually verifying. So like once you verified the user, now you have a token, and now you need to ensure that when a user accesses a route, they actually have a valid token. So the way you would do this with SimpleAuth is you have a mixin that you have to add into a route, and so every route that needs to be authenticated, so if it's authenticated route, you have to add this mixin. And so the DSL, what it does is it goes and you in your route router map, you specify that it's an authenticated route, and it will go in and it will inject that mixin for you automatically, instead of having to do it explicitly or manually for each route.
Yes. Well, I think, I'm not sure, but I think that in Ember SimpleAuth case two, it's probably enough to just add it to the topmost route that you want to protect. No, because then Ember will like descend these routes, and if it fails to authenticate, I mean, if the session is not authenticated, it will find it out on the topmost parent route, and then it will just bail out. But definitely, I mean, the authenticated route, I really like it. It's really, and it's really like visually appealing and telling that it's, you look at the router map and it's there. It's very clear that this is an authenticated route. You cannot enter it without being authenticated. While with the mixin, it's more hidden, it's more obscure, I think.
Yeah, I agree, because you have to go and track down through. You have to go through your routes and gonna see, like, does this route have a mixin? Like, you know, it's very different than going to the router file and just like, oh, there it is.
I agree. I completely agree. Yeah.
So. With Ember SimpleAuth, so it does take a quite a different approach from Tori. I know that the workshop, you're going to be talking more about the specific elements of each of these, but they do. Ember SimpleAuth does have a slightly different approach, and it's also telling the fact that Ember SimpleAuth can actually use Tori for doing third-party authentication, But what kind of, in your experience, what kind of scenarios is Ember SimpleAuth kind of designed for, or you know, well suited for?
Yeah, I think that the main point is that it's very well suited to provide you the username, password, authentication. So the resource owner password, credentials, flow from OAuth 2.0. Yeah, as you mentioned, it's really nice that you can use it for that, and then you can just proxy to Tori for all the other providers. So you can have both in the same application. I mean, both email, password, and all these third-party platforms that you can use. Architecturally, I think it's more magic. It's more configuration. For example, if Ember SimpleAuth has config settings for which route to go to when you are not authenticated and want to access a protected route. So whereas Tori makes you do that, but it provides the primitive so that it's very easy to do and very, you can see it right away where the user is going to be redirected when unauthenticated. So it's more magic, or it's not so much magic. It's also very well documented, so it's not like you have to spend hours finding that out. But you have configuration options for all of that, which also means, I guess, less flexibility.
Yeah, it's a real trade-off, but I think it's a trade-off that people that it's really helpful to know when to choose which. Because with Ember SimpleAuth, you have complete package that you install, and if you know which settings to specify, and in many cases, for a lot of applications, it's not many options. It's only one or two options that you need to configure. But as a trade-off to that is that if you have to implement something, some kind of customizable flow, the figuring out the different pieces and how they fit together to get your custom flow working takes a little bit. It takes more effort. It takes more mental work to figure that out. With Tori, it doesn't give you any. It doesn't really give you, like, it's gonna give you the basics, right? It gives you the external APIs for saying, like, I want to authenticate the user, and it gives you a session storage, but whatever, all of the kind of customization that you would do, like, where should the user go after the user is logged in? What happens if you get something unexpected, or the user is not received like a 401? Like, all that kind of custom all that behavior needs to be done kind of by hand, which again it's a trade-off, right?
Yeah, that was, I think that's a good comparison between the two. Also, I think I should mention that both have a couple of like gotchas or tricks. I guess above a certain size, like all libraries have these, but it was really like some of them took a while to figure out why it didn't work like it should have in certain scenarios, and I would be happy to reveal these in the videos, of course.
Yeah, there are some things, some considerations to keep in mind about each one. I think having a bit of a shortcut to that is helpful, because I know that I've worked with Ember SimpleAuth and with Tori on about half the projects, like half the projects with SimpleAuth and half the projects with Tori, and I've learned about each of them through kind of frustrated poking,
yes.
poking at it until you kind of figure out what I want. But also, you know, I've been doing this for I've been working with Ember for 2.5 or 3 years now, so I have quite a lot of experience in poking at Ember, which not everybody necessarily has that, or not everybody has access to someone who is experienced, who can walk them through kind of a complicated problem. So I think giving people some of these tips and shortcuts in the videos, I think is going to be really helpful.
Cool. Yeah, one more thing I should mention about Ember SimpleAuth is that it provides you with a device adapter out of the box. So if you have a Rails backend, chances are that you are using device, and hooking that up with Ember Simple Auth is really simple. So that's probably one more point I'm going for Ember Simple Auth if you use Rails with device on the in the API.
Yeah, I think it's probably helpful for people to know that that essentially what these libraries do is they make it possible. They provide you the pieces, the kind of the code pieces that you need to be able to do authentication. So everything starting from the point of there is a user has an intent to authenticate themselves. So you need to be able to call some code in your application that is going to say, okay, give this user, authenticate this user. So for implicit grant, that might mean show them a pop-up for the resource owner password credentials grant. You know, accept the username password from a form and then submit that to an endpoint, and so then the response is going to come back with the token. And so both of these libraries provide a way of going to the server, retrieving that information, storing that token in the session, and then going to fetch, using that token to go and fetch the user information. So you now have kind of a more complete session data, and then from there you can actually, based on that session data that is made available to you as a service, you can then go on. The user can now go on inside of your application, and when you need to get the user's name, you can reach into the session and grab that information. So I think it's important people know that it's actually like what these libraries do is make it easy for you to go out and create that, do that authentication against a service, but also once that authentication happen, it will actually put the information into a session service that you can then use, and create the kind of experience that you actually want for your user.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. I think that's the case, like in 95 or even 99% of the cases, you need session management, you need to be able to restore. Tori makes it, allows you to opt out of session management. Actually, it's the other way around. You have to opt in to session management because there can be certain use cases where you don't really need a session. One thing that I can think of is, for example, if you want to fetch the list of artists that someone follows on Spotify, then you just have them connect or authenticate with Spotify, then you get that access token, then you fetch the list of bands, maybe you display them or do something with it, and then you basically can throw away the token and you don't need any session management for that. So, but again, I mean, most of the time you need that session to be persisted and reuse the access token.
Yeah, I think this is one of the other places. So this is one of the places where Tori and Ember Simple Auth differ in that Simple Auth also has this mechanism. I think it's called the session storage mechanism.
Session store.
Session store. Yeah. So which will actually, so you can say, for example, this the default session store. I think that Ember Simple Auth provides is local storage. Right. So once the user is logged in, the token will be stored in local storage. So when the user refreshes the browser, the application that like Ember Simple Auth will retrieve that that session information from local storage and then use that and essentially attempt to continue using that session information.
Exactly. Or you just maybe have to write like one line of code, but it's definitely it's more code with Tori. So yes, again, this is the same trade-off I think that we talked about, or that we mentioned, that Tori is very clear. I think it is very clear, flexible architecture, but there is less magic and sometimes conventions. So in some cases, you have to write more code.
They both have this functionality, so they have both have this idea, this concept of restore. It's part of the APIs, but I believe Ember Simple Auth provides that for you out of the box. You don't have to implement that manually.
Yeah, I didn't mention this when you asked me what I learned by writing the book or having readers of the book. I think probably the best thing is that is people reaching out to me and telling me that they really grokked Ember by learning the book and that they're really happy about it. So yeah, it's fantastic.
So I'm really glad that we've been putting together this workshop, and I'm really glad that you're doing it because you have your Rock and Roll Ember book is a really great foundation. I think it's been very meaningful. It had a meaningful impact on people who were learning Ember for as long as the book existed. So I think this is the next step in the evolution of learning Ember applications. So I'm really glad that you're doing this. Yeah, so I think this workshop is going to be great. And for people who are looking to, basically, if you've implemented authentication before, but you don't feel like you really know what's going on, or you don't really feel 100% confident that this is that you really grasp the different authentication flows and how you could implement them in the Ember application, I think this workshop is essentially for you, because or if you've never implemented authentication and you're learning from scratch, this workshop is also for you, because it will give you the confidence and the knowledge kind of about yourself that, yes, I know how this stuff works. I understand how these pieces fit together, and I understand how to create a kind of a reliable authentication flow inside of my application. So I think it's going to be a really great workshop.
Yes, I think so. I think we should also mention when this workshop is not for you. Like, I think that a decent knowledge of Ember at least basic knowledge of Ember is a must. So understanding how pieces fit together in Ember itself, like how routes and all of these things work. I guess it's also not for you if you're an authorization professional, or if you have written Tori or Ember SimpleAuth, although we didn't rule out that many people by this condition. But yeah.
Yeah, so Marco and Matthew and Corey, this workshop is not for them.
Don't sign up for it. Yeah.
All right. Well, Belin, thank you very much. I'm really glad that we had an opportunity to talk about this, and I hope people got value out of this. I think this is an important subject, and I'm glad that we can do this together.
Yeah, my pleasure, Thomas. Nice to talk to you.
All right, everybody. So thank you very much for listening, and this is the end of the Modern Web Podcast for today. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. To find more podcasts, videos, and online conferences, check out modern-web.org or find us on Twitter @modernweb_. See you around the internet.